你听紧嘅系 SBS 学英语澳洲入籍考试系列嘅一集特别节目。开始之前，等我哋听一则 Wiradjuri Palawa 嘅原住民女孩 Penelope Towney 嘅承认国家支持 Acknowledgement of Country。
You will do Penelope Towney, Palu do Bara Dubai, Nirbijilia Padu Wiradjuri Palawa, Nadu Padiku Kalpara, Darangu Yuan Bai Galam, Nangu Darabaga.
My name's Penelope Towney. I'm 7. I'm proud to be Wiradjuri Palawa. I would like to acknowledge Darul Yuan people whose traditional special country this meeting is being held. I'd like to pay Yinjimara respect to all Darul Yuan people and their land, to my people, the Wiradjuri of Palawa, and to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Mandangugu, thank you!
大家好，我是许培恩，好高兴能够陪伴听紧节目的你学习英语和成为澳洲公民所需的资讯。但正如我一开始所讲，这个是很特别的一集。澳洲有时被认为是很年轻的国家，但澳洲其实是世界上最古老文化的发源地。这一集是关于承认和尊重原住民及托勒斯岛民。比起其他人，他们在远古时期已经将这片土地称之为家园。本集的内容并未全部包括在入籍考试当中，所以会和上几集有点不同，但我们很幸运有机会了解到澳洲的原住民文化。今集我将会带大家听下专家和社区领袖讲述一下原住民及托勒斯岛民的习俗和故事，并且了解新公民和原住民文化怎样融合。如果你想真正感受到自己属于澳洲这个地方，请继续收听下去。
Welcome to country. I'm not really sure about that.
Welcome to country is acknowledgement. I believe when someone lands in Australia.
What is welcome to country? I have no idea.
Welcome to country is acknowledging the Aboriginal people and their land.
I know welcome to country is something that people do before an important event, but apart from that, sorry, I don't know.
当 SBS 学英语团队在雪梨街头访问的时候，我们意识到了解原住民的人民和文化不单止对新移民很重要，对很多土生土长的澳洲人也都很重要。那么说回头，到底什么是欢迎来到国家仪式呢？
A welcome to country is acknowledging where the elder or the custodianor the traditional owner of that country welcomes you onto their country. It's a bit like border control in that they'll call you in, there might be a smoking ceremony, there might be a water ceremony, there might be a sweat ceremony. It really depends of where you are across Australia. But basically, they're welcoming you onto their landsThey're doing it so you have safe passage on those lands, and they're smoking you for many reasons. It's a cleansing, it's a healing, but also they're ensuring that you smell like all the other groups on that nation. And that's a way that animals don't smell something different and run away, and it's got many meanings.But the main thing about welcome to country, it is something that we've always practiced. We have very many different names for it, but we wanted Australians to understand that this protocol is simply good manners. It's like when you visit someone's house, you will knock on the door before you enter.
This woman is Rhoda Roberts, from the Bundjalung tribe of Widgeable Wireable 妇女。他在二十世纪八十年代首次创立欢迎来到国家仪式这个讲法。Rhoda Roberts 的职业生涯致力于促进和宣扬澳洲原住民的艺术和文化。为了表扬他的工作，他在2016年被颁发澳洲官座勋章，这个是来自澳洲政府的最高级别奖项之一。Rhoda Roberts 还创立了 Calling Country 一词，我们又不如听一听他讲。
So in the old ways, this is before the arrival of the white man, every nation across Australia would travel to other territories on what we called song lines. And song lines is a song you sing, and it's done in different rhythms depending on the landscape. But you're singing, and in that song, it gives you the information of when you reach a certain destination on those lands. It might tell you where the best drinking water source is. It might tell you where there's danger of crocodiles. It might tell you where you can camp for the night. So there are lots of information in the song line. By the time you reach the boundary of another territory or homeland, there's a certain tone in the song line that calls to them. The owners of that country will call back and invite you across the border. And then, of course, they welcome you, you gift them, and then they do the sweat, the cleansing, the water, the smoking ceremony to ensure that you then can travel safely across their country.
Besides welcome to country and calling country, what are some cultural practices or key historical events that new citizens should be aware of?
Since Federation of 1909 through to 1967, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were not counted on our national census. We were actually counted with the sheep and the flora. And in 1967, there was a referendum that asked Australians to vote yes for Aborigines. 93.7% of Australians ticked the yes box, which meant that we became citizens of our country.
刚才有没有留意到 Roda Roberts 讲关于1967年的公投呢？它有可能出现在你的入籍考试当中的哦。如果你仲唔确定乜嘢系公投，同埋澳洲宪法点样修改，记住重听 SBS 学英语澳洲入籍考试系列嘅其他内容。不过而家唔好行开住，阵间会为大家带嚟两名 Wira Jury 原住民代表嘅对话。
When people just mention about First Nation of the country, I think the first thing come to my mind is gratitude.
I know that they help.Build this country and they are not appreciated a lot.
I know that there is many, many different language groups. I know that there are different totemic identities associated with each mob.
I know how the Australian culture sees them at the moment. I know what actions are done to rectify what's happened. But outside of that, not so much.
First of all, I don't think all of us know enoughWe're not taught enough when we're younger. It's not cool.
众所周知，澳洲是一个文化多样的国家。澳洲人民来自不同的种族和信仰背景。在这里我们可以庆祝印度排灯节、穆斯林斋月、农历新年和西方复活节。但还有原住民文化令到澳洲这个地方变得更加特别。澳洲原住民拥有横跨六万几年的历史和传统，世界上任何其他地方都没办法真正了解他们的文化。在这一集，两位 Wira Jury 的原住民代表 Angeline Penrith 和 Luke Carroll 接受 SBS 学英语同事 Yosipa 的访问。他们曾经出演多个电视节目和电影，你都可能见过他们。不如我们一起听听吧。
With me in the studio are Angeline Penrith and Luke Carroll, whom you might know from TV shows and movies like Australian Rules, Red for Now, Mother Mountain, Black Comedy, and much, much more. Hi, guys. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, you mob.
You're a Dumurung, you mob. And we've got two Wiradjuri warriors here yep. with you, Yosipa, proud Wiradjuri people. And we just want to acknowledge that we're on Cammeraygal country of the Eora Nation here in Morang, which is the traditional name of Sydney. So pleased to be here with you in the studio.
Thank you. And what was that salute that you gave us at the beginning? Can you repeat it?
Yeah, Yirra Dumurung, which is a Wiradjuri word for good day.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, together recently we made a video series for people who want to become Australian citizens.
Yeah, it was a good experience, informative for myself.
Yeah, the booklet Our Common Bond provides basically an overview of Australian history and values and customs and also the government. So, but it contains very little information about us First Nations people and our culture. So that's the reason why we decided to make this podcast.
And it's great to be included.
And in your opinion, what is important for new citizens to learn about First Nations peoples and cultures in Australia?
Well, I think what's very important is the history of our First Nations people in this country. You know, we are the longest continuing culture in the world. We've been here for over 65,000 plus years, which is a very, very, very long time. And, you know, we'll be here for another 65,000 years. So it's
minimum.
Minimum, that's right. Also, the ongoing impacts of colonisation since 1788. And the effects that still are around for us as a people, and also the diversity of the cultures and languages within our own culture. There are so many different languages in our culture.
Do we know how many?
Over 500 plus, yeah. But a lot of those have been lost due to colonisation, so that's the impacts that we need our citizens coming to the country to learn about. But our own language, Wiradjuri language, has been revived, and
yes.
Uncle Stan Grant Sr. has done a great job with that, so... Yeah, we just want our new citizens to know about that.
That's right. We come from the Wiradjuri people, one of the largest nations, and we're reviving culture ourselves, getting back to our essence and our roots. So when we talk about culture, it's just as important as religion or a government infrastructure to us. So whether it's a lot of themes that you will hear is connection to country, kingship, and elders are... the first couple of words that you will hear a lot when you come into contact with First Nations mob in Australia. Our elders are like the big boss. They're our...
caretakers.
Caretakers, yeah. Our, you know, mentors. Anything of authority would probably come under our elders' guidance, yeah.
To become an Australian citizen, migrants need to learn about the Australian government, its legal system, core values and customs. But First Nations peoples also have laws that govern social behaviour and relationships, right?
Yes, that's right, yes. We say law, but it's spelled L-O-R-E, as you said. And we were able to survive for so long maintaining these special laws within our culture. And when the first settlers came here, they said this was a wasteland, terra nullius, but that was so much far from the facts. You know, we had a hierarchy place in system. We had laws and customs in place that still stand to this day. And those laws and traditions and customs were, you know, passed down through song, through dance, through spoken word, from our elders down to our younger people. And then that generation moved up and it passed down again and again and again over all those thousands of years. And it continues to this day. And
now we can you give us some example of...
Yep. So, there are men's and women's business that happens in our culture. So... You know, I've been lucky enough to go out into, you know, remote communities where it's still practiced really strongly. And, you know, you have your men business and you can't talk too much about it because it's culturally disrespectful mm-hmm. too. But it's basically, you know, you become a man, you go through your journey as a man, a male in Aboriginal culture. You go on a journey with the elders, the male elders, and you go on country and you go through certain things through
like processes. Initiation,
that's correct, yeah. So becoming initiation into manhood, and that's done with just, you know, the men of the group. You go out in country for weeks on end and you go through a process of that. And then, you know, the women have their own processes as well. There's also men's and women's business areas on the land that men can't go to and women can't go to. And for instance, women's business places is where, you know, women give birthplace and stuff, so men aren't allowed out onto women's business areas and vice versa for the men. So,
Angeline, is there anything about women's business that you can share with us?
I mean, pretty much similar. You will have an initiation process. You will go bush. The elders will decide. I mean, you could go out for a period of time and come back, and if the elders don't feel like you have... transformed, changed, or whatever, you will be sent out again. You know, they're similar, but just, you know, a male and a female version of
the process.
Yes.
I think it's called Darug. The Darug people lived on the country of where I'm from.
I don't know about the Aboriginal name, but I'll learn more about my history.
I do not know the name of the
Aboriginal country that I live on.
The Aboriginal name of the country is Terras Nullius, I think.
I do not know the Aboriginal name of the country I live on.
Is it important to learn the Aboriginal name of the country in which we live and work?
Yeah, because it's the least you can do. It's like knowing the capital of Australia, you know. It's just as important going forward and engaging with First Nations mob. That's just, you know,
the basic.
Basics, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, we talk about the effects of colonisation, and most of the names that are given to areas in this country are non-traditional names. So we're reclaiming that as well. I know there are a lot of suburbs in Sydney that have got traditional Aboriginal names already, like Coogee and Bondi, yeah, and Maroubra. Yep. But we want more of those to be, you know, we want our capital cities to be known in their traditional names.
Let's talk about some terms that have different meaning in Western and traditional custodian terminology.
Yes, let's talk about that. So the word custodian in Western English cultures could mean, you know, responsible for taking care, managing something such as property, collections, you know, like a caretaker. But it's much more in depth than that for First Nations culture. You know, it's a highly responsible, probably one of the most highest, you know, statuses within First Nations to be a custodian. You have responsibility for land, for how culture is run, for the community.
Is custodian normally an elderly person, or age is not important?
No, I mean, age is not important. I mean, even through ceremony, so to become a woman or a man, it's in modern context, there are people that haven't been through it and at 30 have went back through ceremony. So that might give you a glimpse on how Aboriginal culture is not necessarily bound by age. It's about the right person.
And it's our elders who choose that person, don't they, who show, yes, a responsibility, yeah, within our society. They go, okay, he's a good young person that's going to come through, or she is, yeah, a good young person coming through. We're going to give them the knowledge for them to be the custodians of our story and our culture moving forward for the next generation.
Yeah. And it's also because First Nations people die 20 years before everyone else. So we just don't have the luxury of having a lot of elders or reaching a certain age. So you will become a woman or a man before most of other cultures will.
Another term that we often hear when interacting with First Nations peoples is uncle and auntie.
Oh, yes, we hear that a lot. And cuz.
Yeah, and cuz.
And brother, sister.
Sister, brother.
Well, titter girl, brother boy.
In my culture, uncle and auntie is normally someone that you are related to. It's like sister or brother of your parents or their husband and wife. But for you, it's a bit different, right?
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone we're blood related to. It's a respect thing, and also that cultural thing that we're all never really separated, do you know? Like, you belong, you know? So I could travel on someone else's country and they'd be, hey, niece, make me a cup of tea, you know? Yeah, Arnie, that's right. So, yeah, it's just a way of looking at our mob and paying respects to them, yeah.
You mentioned before the word kinship.
Yeah.
That stands for social ties, relationships based on blood, marriage and adoption.
Yes. It's very much, kinship's very much intricate to our culture. So how to describe it in a colonial sense is a little bit difficult because basically kinship's is the infrastructure of how families or mob or groups are run. Yes. And, like, you would rarely ever hear First Nations mob say step.
Yes,
you
no,
know, it's
never.
It's not in our vocabulary. No. So
step
that might,
brother or step, yeah, sister, yeah.
You know, that's that kinship. But yeah, we're closer than that. Like, you always bring mob, family, auntie, kinships. We're here.
In Aboriginal family and culture, we have extended family. Sometimes, you know, we get adopted as such by the extended family. You know, we may have someone that we call mum that's not our mum, but out of respect we do that because they've had a big impact on our lives, or auntie or uncle who aren't blood related. But out of that respect for what they've done to us in that extended family unit, we call them uncle and auntie. And it's, like I said, it's very much respectful when you call someone that. It comes from a place of big and deep respect.
Yeah. Talking about respect, what is something that we as migrants should keep in mind when interacting with First Nations peoples?
If you want to ask any questions about us, the best place to get your information from is from an Aboriginal person. So
yeah.
I don't think if you come up to an Aboriginal person and, you know, ask questions, we can educate you about whatever questions you have, knowing that it may be slightly disrespectful or may not, but we can understand that you may not have had a big education about us.
Just be open. Try not to approach questions that are, you know, in and around misconceptions and stereotypes, but it's okay because most First Nations mob are open to dialogue of any sorts generally.
Yeah.
You know, we're very open people, but I would just say be mindful of some of the misconceptions you might get around First Nations mob and, yeah, just be open and so will we.
Yeah, but do ask questions.
Yeah, we love to educate people.
Yeah, we do. We love a yarn. And especially, you know, with our, like I said earlier, we live in such a multicultural, you know, country. And, you know, we're learning as Aboriginal people about the other cultures in the country coming in. So it'll be a two-way street.
Yeah.
You know, you may have several questions, but we may have several questions about you and your culture as well. So it's a beautiful, it can be a beautiful conversation. Yeah.
刚才 Angeline 同 Luke 提到中意 Yan， Yan 喺原住民语境当中经常出现，系倾下偈嘅意思。Angeline 仲提到 misconceptions 误解同 stereotypes 黑板印象，意思系普遍大众所持有嘅观念并非完全正确，系基于有限或者错误嘅资讯。通过挑战误解同埋黑板印象，并为原住民争取权利，我哋可以帮助建立一个更具包容性嘅社会。作为移民都会从中受益。 Roda Roberts 表示，了解原住民都可以帮助移民在澳洲获得更大的归属感。
I think learning about our cultures makes you learn about the country, and I'm talking about the landscape, the places you'll be living. There's so much history and some incredible stories.And you'll often hear the stories of how the river was formed or how the mountains were formed. And it really tells you about where you're living. Hearing the language of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, who are also referred to as First Nations, validates that their language holds a lot of their religion and their rituals. Like any sector of society,We have our leaders, we have our religious leaders, we have our workers, we have industry and resource. And like all other sectors of society, we have very many different opinions. We have issues from substance abuse to domestic violence, the everyday issues of social media,in the 21st century. So when you arrive, look at us, it's a bit like same, same, but different. Aboriginal people have had a devastating history. Our children were taken. That occurred in many places. In many areas, we were at war with the arrival of the pioneers. In many places, there was good people.Whether they were white or black, and there were good people who forged relationships. So there's the good and the bad, but when you are here and you see an Aboriginal person, they want to embrace you because our theory is you come to country here, you're part of us. And our philosophy about the land that we live onis about us caretaking it and nurturing it. And with that nurturing, we also extend and embrace the people who live on our country. And we ask them, can you afford the land the same love that you would afford your mother?
最后 ,Roda Roberts 提出一个发人深省的问题。 我哋能唔能够好似爱母亲一样爱呢片土地呢？这个问题可以帮助我们反思移民和澳洲这个新家园它的历史以及原住民的关系。
I would like to learn more about First Nation people.
I would like to learn in the future about First Nation peoples and cultures.
I would want to learn more about them.
Oh, I would definitely love to know more things about Aboriginal culture and Aboriginal people.
I would like to learn more about First People, Nations and Cultures.
I would definitely want to learn about the land that I'm living in right now.
SBS 学英语在这里特别感谢嘉宾 Rhoda Roberts 的宝贵意见，以及 Luke Carroll 和 Angeline Penrith 的分享。本集由我们的同事 Josipa Konsanovic 编写和制作， SBS 学英语的项目经理是 Janine Guggen， 策划主管是 Pamela Cook， 音效设计由 Max Gosford 负责，主题音乐由 Rick Bull 创作。在这里同时亦特别感谢 Claudiana Bianco 和 Caroline Gates 的大力支持。希望大家保持一颗好奇的心，继续探索澳洲的一切。多谢你和我们一起学习。
SBS Learn English helps Australians to speak, understand, and connect.